This is The Sun on the Strip. Welcome back. I say welcome back because obviously you listened to the very first edition of this thing last week. And now you're back. And thank you for listening. I'm Brock Recky, editor at large, Las Vegas Sun, and entertainment writer guy. And we have a bunch of different stuff to talk about this week. But since it's Thanksgiving, and really all we can think about is the food that we're going to eat, I thought it would be a good idea to talk about some of the newest restaurants on the Strip, what they are serving, and if they are delicious. Helping me out with that today from Las Vegas Weekly is Leslie Ventura.
Hey, how's it going, Brock?
Good. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
How long have you been with us now here at Las Vegas Weekly?
Oh my gosh, 5.5 years.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, time has flown by. I don't know. I was actually just thinking about this the other day because my 5 year happened, and then just, you know, my 5.5 year happened, and time just flies by. I don't know where all the time went.
You write about so many different things, and you have pretty much since the beginning, music, food, newsy stuff, you're all over the place. Is there a topic or a subject that you're like most excited about right now covering in Las Vegas?
Oh my gosh. Well, besides food, obviously that's always something new and exciting because the Vegas landscape is just always changing when it comes to dining. So it's always cool to kind of be on top of that. Music, I mean, kind of the same thing. Like, Vegas is so exciting. Everything, the Strip is changing so much. There's so many more opportunities for entertainment. So I think just staying on top of that and, you know, keeping up with what's new and exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a lot. So I thought of the short list of really new restaurants that I want to talk about, I thought I would start with the Chinese one because do people still go out to eat Chinese food on Thanksgiving if they don't want turkey, or is that a Christmas thing?
You know, I've never done that. I know that's a tradition among a lot of people, and that's just not something that I've ever partaken in. But I am into that idea. Maybe for Christmas this year, I'll just get some takeout and call it a day. Simple. Yeah.
So I just did a story for Weekly about two new Chinese restaurants on the Strip, one of which at the Palazzo called Mott 32 is not open quite yet, but at the Cosmopolitan, they just opened a new restaurant called Red Plate. It's on the third level where all those other restaurants are. It's in the space that used to have DOCG, which was a great Italian spot. And really, this restaurant was born out of, like so many fancy Chinese restaurants on the Strip, trying to provide something for the kind of the high rollers coming over from China and different parts of Asia that are seeking an authentic Chinese food experience. And they used to do this, and they still do this at Cosmo at a place called the Talon Club, which is like a private gambling
so
area.
So interesting. Yeah. I want to go.
So they took the chef from there and gave him his own place, and it's called Red Plate, and it's mostly kind of traditional Cantonese offerings there. But a little bit of a secret restaurant. You went and tried out two other restaurants that are definitely under the radar, I think.
A bit, yeah.
Let's start with at MGM Grand, there's a spot called the Greek Sneak.
Yes, and when I first heard it, I was like, that's such an odd name. I wasn't sure how I felt about it. And then I got there, and basically what they've done is they've reappropriated the back room of Crush, if you've been, I'm sure you've been, but to our listeners. Really beautiful space. It was already gorgeous. And so now you go down. It's not entirely hidden. It says Greek Sneak outside of the venue, so you know where you're going. And you walk down this little corridor that has this very like speakeasy type feel, but really modern, really you know, beautiful Greek-inspired paintings on the walls and some funky statues. And you get in there, and it's just this really beautiful Instagrammable space, which I say that a lot in my stories because so many places are now.
Gotta get the graham.
Yeah,
chops.
You gotta get it. And they even have like some neon sign. I forget what it says, but you know, definitely one that you want to stand in front of and get that selfie. But the food is really delicious, and it's the same executive chef, Billy DeMarco from Crush. And what I think is really cool about Greek Sneak is we don't have a lot of Greek options on the Strip.
That's right.
So just adding that into the whole like repertoire is really cool, and they do a really good job of it. You have kind of the more traditional, easy stuff like gyros, which I think will be really big with, you know, business folks and, you know, people coming into Vegas for meetings who need a quick bite, but also like elevated things like lamb shank and what have you. So they kind of hit all the bases in a really good way.
Yeah, pretty interesting, pretty innovative way to like offer something new. The Crush is one of the restaurants from Michael and Jenna Morton. They also have La Cave at Wynn, and they also have MB Steak Rock, and they have the downtown spot. What is it called? The Mexican restaurant. I can't remember the name of it right now.
Oh, is that
right around the corner
with the monkey sign?
Yeah.
La Comida.
There you go.
Yeah.
Save the day.
Yes.
Yeah. Obviously, Michael Morton has been doing this in Vegas for a long time, and they know what they're doing. So that's a really interesting place. I can't wait to go check that one out. Maybe even more obscure. Fashion Show Mall inside Nordstrom, right?
Yes.
There's a new restaurant called Genies.
Yeah, and I really love this. They brought in Tom Douglas from Seattle. If you're not familiar, he's won a bunch of awards, and he's really known for his like unconventional pizzas. And so he's already worked with Nordstrom before. They brought him in again for this new concept. And like, who wouldn't love, what shopper doesn't love the idea of being able to, like, kick up your feet, sit down, relax, and have a really delicious meal? What I love about this is it's not just, you know, grab-and-go coffee. It's not, you know, Starbucks. This is a full sit-down restaurant, and the food is top-notch, top of the line. They focus on these really amazing kind of elevated grilled cheese sandwiches called Toasties. And they have their own gelato specialist who creates, you know, different gelatos every day from scratch. There's just a lot to choose from. The pizzas are dynamite. One of my favorites was a mushroom pizza that just has me like salivating thinking about it right now. So yeah, I really love that. I think it's going to be a huge hit now. It just opened a few weeks ago, and now with the holidays, holiday shopping, everyone's going to be out, getting, you know, everything on their list, and Genies, that's like the place to go in the middle of your day when you need a break.
Is it kind of, what's the like setting like in there? Is it like the, you know, cafe style? Is it like bright?
You know, it's a little bit of both. It's more elegant than I thought it would be, to be honest. It definitely takes you out of the mall, which I love. I love that. But, you know, it's not, like, so classy that you can't just go in there in your, you know, whatever you're wearing when you're doing your holiday shopping. It's pretty accessible in that respect. But it's comfy, it's modern, and it's still casual, but still a little bit more refined. So, you know, everything you'd expect from Nordstrom, basically.
Yeah, that's a good find. Obviously, there's been a bunch of new restaurants opening at the fashion show in the last year or so, couple of years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to kind of like get out of the mall environment and have a real escape sounds like maybe a little bit more fun than some of the other stuff that is more obvious.
Right, exactly. Nothing drives me like more nuts than, you know, hearing all of the commotion happening outside, and Genies is definitely more of like a quiet destination.
So maybe obviously a really huge restaurant opening that we talked a little bit about last week is Nomad at Park MGM. I don't know if it's the biggest of the year, but it's a...
There's a lot of hype.
It's definitely a big deal. Nomad, of course, has restaurants in New York and L.A., and the Las Vegas one is kind of modeled on the New York City original. It's really hard to describe this place. I went in there for the first time when they had their grand opening gala, and it's a two-story, an open two-story space with this kind of balcony around it, and it's a library, basically. There's more than 20,000 books in there.
Wow.
Their actual books.
You can go in and read one if you want.
I guess so. I don't know. I don't think they're going to stop you. But it's Chef Daniel Hum and his partner Will Guidera. And this is definitely one of the most anticipated openings in Las Vegas in some time, and a huge thing for Park MGM. It's like one of the last steps in that place becoming what it will be, hopefully,
right,
by the end of the year.
Complete. And I mean, everything that they're doing is so exciting. I love Park MGM. It's very like boutique style and really beautiful. Nothing else on the strip looks like it. And I just feel like everything dining wise that they've done has been really wonderful. So I'm super excited for it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also coming soon to Park MGM, we also talked about this before, mm-hmm. Eataly. Now we know that the opening date for Eataly is December 27th. And Eataly, of course, is a giant marketplace, kind of Italian marketplace with different vendor style experiences. This one's kind of hard to describe too, because we don't really know if the Eataly Las Vegas is going to be similar to other venues in other cities around the world,
mm-hmm.
but it is 40,000 square feet. Right off the strip, and the chef kind of overseeing all the stuff they're doing there is Nicole Brisson, who was the head of Mario Batali's Las Vegas operations when he had some. So she's great. She definitely is a pro and knows what she's doing, and she knows Vegas. I'm sure it's going to be a fascinating experience. I can't wait to go see how it looks.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I know, you know, it's kind of like a one-stop shop. You get to go in, eat, and pick up some gifts for your foodie friends. I mean, that's what I think is going to be really cool about it. Just you can get something that you can't get really anywhere else, just on the strip, some top quality Italian fare. So I think it's going to be really cool.
Speaking of Italian food, Vetri just opened at the Palms. Which the Palms is not technically on the strip, but it is really. Come on, it's the strip.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna talk about all these places just off the strip. They all count. So Mark Vetri from Philadelphia, this is his first Vegas adventure. He's kind of a god in Philadelphia, very admired. His restaurant's very acclaimed and popular, and it's a little bit different style of Italian cooking than what we've seen. I would say rustic, but also he just does a lot of different dishes that you don't see at a lot of other restaurants.
Like what?
He's kind of famous for this spinach gnocchi.
Okay.
With brown butter. I think that's one of his trademark dishes. There's also a crepe, like a sweet onion crepe, I guess. I don't even know what that
sounds
would look
like. Really good for fall, though. And as totally. It's getting chilly, it's like perfect.
I don't know about you, but like this is my Italian food season. Like this
yeah.
is the pasta time.
Just carb load up, stay inside as much as possible. Definitely.
So that was kind of a more quiet opening that just happened this past week. And of course, there's other new stuff coming to the Palms soon as well. A barbecue joint from Michael Simon, a seafoody place from Bobby Flay. Those are both coming. Well, Bobby Flay's not coming until March, but Michael Simon, I'm not sure when. Could be any day now. I was in there earlier this week, and it looks like the space is very close to being done, but who knows how long it'll take the crew to get in there and sort things out.
Right. I feel like they are a pretty quick turnaround there, though, so.
Yeah,
hopefully.
There's a lot of moving pieces over there at the Palms right now. That's it, I think, for our restaurants that have just opened. We did just get the news a few days ago that there's a new cocktail bar coming to Caesar's Palace, and it's actually taking over a space, I think, that you visited a few times. I was very fond of it, too. It was called Fizz.
I loved Fizz. I could go and just rave about Fizz. I was really sad when it closed. Elton John and his partner were behind it. And it actually had, I mean, I shouldn't just go on and on about a place that doesn't exist anymore, but it actually, it had artwork, Elton John's own, from his own collection. So it was, he would buy one or three, like duplicates of each thing that he has in his home. So you were actually getting to see the artwork that Elton John had in his home. You weren't even allowed to take photos because it was like such a big deal. And I think they had like a crazy $100,000 cocktail or something of the sort. But no, it was a really beautiful space, and I'm excited to see what they do with it next because I feel like they have big shoes to fill.
Well, they're definitely going glam again because it's going to be the Vanderpump Cocktail Garden from Lisa Vanderpump, who is a Los Angeles restaurateur and reality TV personality, very well known from, she was on The Housewives, I guess she still is on one of those Real Housewives show, and then she spun off her own show, Vanderpump Rules, which I will have to confess, I kind of am addicted to
of
that show.
Of course you are, but is she more of a diva than Elton John, though?
I mean,
that's
I don't
the
think
real
that's
question.
She'll try. But so the Vanderpump Cocktail Garden is supposed to open in it says early 2019, so hopefully that means first quarter. She has restaurants in LA like Sir and Pump and Tom Tom, I think, is the newest one over there. Probably a lot of like LA style coming to the Strip, as if we don't have enough of that. No, I think this place will actually, because she's a really good, well-known name, I think it will probably do really well.
Oh, I'm sure.
And probably fit in with, you know, like you said, the Coliseum's right there. That's kind of right, the entrance to the Forum shop.
Right. I was just going to say, that space is, like, prime location, because especially with her being, you know, the kind of celebrity that she is, entering the Forum shops right there, I mean, it's going to get a ton of business. So it should be great placement, and hopefully really, really cool drinks and space.
What are you going to have for Thanksgiving dinner this year? Are you going to have turkey or are you going to have something else?
I'm going to have some turkey, I think, but I'm really excited. I'm flying back home to Chicago, and I've actually never spent Thanksgiving with my dad's side of the family, and we're Honduran, so we're having tamales. I've never experienced that, so I'm super excited to have, you know, kind of a different Thanksgiving than what I'm used to. It should be really fun.
That sounds good. Bring me back some tamales.
I will do that if you really want me to. I don't know how they'll last, but we'll see.
Thanks for talking food with me.
Yeah,
today.
Thank you.
Okay, moving from food to music, specifically very loud music. It was just recently announced this week that a very unique Las Vegas festival event is moving to a new location for 2019. Psycho Las Vegas will be held at Mandalay Bay on the Strip August 16th to 18th next year. To shed a little more light on this is our resident Psycho Las Vegas expert, or at least someone who has been to it.
I think that should be my beat expert. Officially.
Spencer Patterson, editor of Las Vegas Weekly. Thanks for sitting in today.
No problem, Brock. Thanks for having me on your show.
So how do you explain, what is Psycho Las Vegas? It would probably be inaccurate to say it's a heavy metal fest, right?
I mean, there is a lot of metal there. It's basically like, I would say more heavy rock festival. A lot of like psychedelic music, metal, stoner rock, all that kind of good stuff.
And you went to it, this will be the third year.
So correct.
It started in 2017 and it was at the Hard Rock Hotel.
The first 2 years have been at the Hard Rock.
And it really kind of took over the whole property, multiple stages.
Yeah, so it was at the Joint, Vinyl, which is the small club there, and the pool, which was pretty perfect because especially the joint and vinyl were very close together, so you could toggle back and forth between the two rooms easily. If a band ended that you wanted to see, and there's another band you wanted to see, you could just take a few steps, and you were in the other club, mm-hmm. which was great.
So being that this is kind of a niche genre or collection of genres of music, and the hard rock, it still is the hard rock for now, but won't be right. too much later, but that was kind of a good fit for it. Since it was a good destination for this event, did it surprise you a little bit to hear that this was moving to a bigger destination and a more visible destination?
Well, I mean, first, we knew that it was probably going to move since the Hard Rock had sold, and we had heard that Vinyl, for instance, was probably closing. They were going to redo the pool, and they weren't sure if they were going to have a stage out there anymore. So the odds of it staying at the Hard Rock seemed pretty slim. Like, even when the second edition at the Hard Rock was going, the rumors were flying around throughout the weekend that it wasn't, that was it. That was the last one there. So I guess it moving wasn't a huge surprise, and Mandalay Bay makes sense in a way because it does have multiple venues. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a property that can definitely accommodate it. Maybe a little bit surprising only in that the venues at Mandalay Bay are much farther apart, like walking from House of Blues to the Mandalay Bay Event Center, that's a pretty good hike.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure if they're going to plan it differently because of that. Like, maybe they'll allow a lot more time between acts because you won't be able to do what I was talking about before. You won't be able to just kind of run back and forth between different acts that you want to see.
Right, right. At Mandalay Bay, the sites planned to host shows from different psycho acts are the Mandalay Bay Event Center, of course.
Right, and I heard that
it's a pretty large venue.
It is. I heard it seems almost too big, honestly, for the kind of acts that they used to have at the joint. I mean, the joint's probably, what, like 4,000? Mandalay Bay Event Center's probably, like, closer to 10 or, you know, 9 or whatever. Or probably can even go up from there, to yeah. depending how it's set up. But I heard that they might have multiple stages inside there. Like, they might have one stage on each side of the event center and then toggle back and forth between
that.
That
would make sense.
Right,
and
cut it in half, mm-hmm. yeah.
Also at the House of Blues, of course, which is a natural.
Yeah.
Mandalay Beach, which could be kind of funky, but I guess they did some outdoor stuff at the Hard Rock.
Yeah,
too,
they
right?
did. They did like a pre-party the night before for people who bought tickets early, and that was a pretty good night. They usually had like maybe 6 or 8 acts on that Thursday, and then they would have like maybe 3 or 4 acts each night at the pool as well.
And then the one that at Mandalay Bay that's most interesting to me is Rhythm and Riffs. So that is a pretty big bar and stage space. It's really kind of a giant lounge,
right.
casino lounge. It's right in the casino. It's not closed off from the casino. It's in the area. If you're coming in from that parking garage back by the restaurants, it's right there. And it's very exposed. And Rhythm and Riffs is a country-oriented venue mm-hmm. these days. They do special events in there depending on whatever is going on in the hotel and casino, and there's always a big crowd in there. It's a really popular spot, but to have like some crazy, maybe thrashy music in that venue to me is going to be wild.
Yeah, that will be kind of strange. I wonder if, I know at Hard Rock, I think they used to have like DJs doing things in the center, like in the circle, what's it called, the circle bar, or the center bar at Hard Rock, and so I wonder if maybe that's the kind of stuff they're thinking about, like maybe it won't be bands so much as like maybe an acoustic thing, or maybe a DJ, like a person from one of the bands will split off and do, you know, play some tunes that kind of make sense for this, but aren't maybe quite as metally and heavy, because like you said, it is in the center of the casino, and unlike the Hard Rock, where I mean, the whole thing was kind of themed psycho for the weekend. Mandalay Bay is huge, and this is just part of it. And they're still going to have all kinds of other things going on, I would assume. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they don't. I'm guessing Mandalay Bay doesn't want the entire hotel to just become psycho. They kind of want it to be part of it, but then also have their normal thing. So that is interesting, like you said, to have that going on in the center.
What were some of the what were some of the standout acts that you remember? What were your like favorite acts from last year?
From last year? So my favorite act was kind of a controversial act because, it was this band called Sun. It's spelled S-U-N-N, and then another word, O, with I think 2 or 3 parentheses after it. So kind of a weird band name and also a really weird band. It's just two guys and they make a lot of noise and it's just like really dense, like slabs of noise, just really super heavy. And there's not a lot of like melody or there's no vocals really. It's just kind of like guttural sounds. And I thought it was incredible just because it was so different than anything else going on. I know a lot of people didn't like it. So that was probably my favorite thing from last year. The first year there was this band Electric Wizard from England, which is just a great metal band. They headlined the second night, and I thought they were fantastic. But honestly, it's a really great curation of this festival. They always have a lot of interesting things going on. If you're not into the main stage, you can run over to one of the side stages, and you know there's something interesting happening at all times, pretty much.
And this is a lot. There's a lot of music that is not ordinarily going to be in Las Vegas.
Right. Yeah, like those bands I mentioned, that's probably the only time they've ever been here. I think Sun might have opened for somebody once at the House of Blues, but for the most part, this is the only chance you're going to have to see it.
Are you excited to see it again in its new venue, or are you a little skeptical of this change?
No, I'm excited. I mean, I think Hard Rock was pretty perfect. I think everybody would agree. Everyone who went, I'm sure the organizers who I've talked to, I think they're sad to have to move, but I think they're good enough at what they do that they're going to figure out a way to make it really cool at Mandalay Bay, and it might end up being better than it was before because they'll have more space and more options, and I'm not sure if they'll have more money, but maybe. So it could actually be a lot bigger. They haven't announced any acts yet for this, but I think they're planning on doing that like at the end of next week. I think they're going to announce like maybe just a handful of acts. I think the tickets go on sale. I can't remember the exact date, but it might be like Friday or Saturday of next week. So I think they're planning on unveiling a few things. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are a couple of like big acts. Like, I don't know how big. I don't think they're going to go like Metallica big. But in the past, I think the biggest act they've had is probably like Alice Cooper or maybe like King Diamond. And I could see them going a little bit bigger. Or they've had Mastodon before. I could see them getting like Judas Priest. Maybe, I don't know about like an Iron Maiden, but maybe in that kind of category. Bands that, you know, can play arenas, maybe on the smaller side of the arena tour. But yeah, I'm really interested to see what they do. And I don't think they'd be doing it again if they didn't think they could do it well. Mm-hmm. So
it looks like what they're calling the Psycho Special Passes, some kind of early bird thing, are already on sale.
Okay.
As of
so that's for like the diehards, people who like, they're going, they don't care who's playing, they love it, and they're just going to go, sight unseen.
Right, right. Yeah, it looks like other ticket packages are going to be announced soon, and single day tickets are not going to be available until springtime.
Yeah, I think ideally they'd like to not sell individual days, but you know, I think they kind of leave it to, if it were to sell out, then they wouldn't. But I think the last 2 years they have sold individual day, and I think last year, I think like two of the 3 days eventually did sell out. So it's done well. I think it's been pretty successful for them and definitely for music fans in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Psycho Las Vegas, it's going to be August 16th to 18th, 2019. You can get more info at vivapsycho.com. Thanks, Spencer.
Thanks, bro.
So some more holiday business to take care of on the Strip. There are a handful of shows that get very festive this time of year. Human Nature at the Venetian converts their show into the Rockin' Holiday Jukebox beginning on November 27th. I like that show a lot. That's at the Sand Showroom in the Venetian. Human Nature. Tournament of Kings, another great, long-established show on the Strip, turns into the Tournament of Kings Twas the Night. Get it? With a K? Yeah, I figured that you would get that one. Same jousting and battling and fun and food also. The food changes a little bit. That's at the Excalibur, of course. Starts today, November 21st, Twas the Night, and keeps going all the way through Christmas till December 27th. And then Terry Fader at the Mirage does his annual Very Terry Christmas Holiday Show. He only does it one night on November 27th, but it's very awesome and special. It's kind of like an old school holiday TV special with different guests and people popping in and out, and of course all of Terry's great characters, and he's going to be introducing a new character to the show that night. I think I know who it is. Not allowed to say. You're just going to have to wait and see. Other holiday stuff going on the Strip. Of course, the Cosmopolitan has already transformed its boulevard pool into an ice rink, and you can eat s'mores and drink boozy hot chocolate. But on December 5th, Vegas Golden Knights defenseman Derek England will host the tree lighting ceremony up there on the rooftop pool at the Cosmo. Derek England, of course, my guest on the most recent episode of the All the Vegas podcast for Las Vegas Weekly. If you haven't listened to that, go check it out at allthevegas.com or find it on Apple Podcasts. Same place you find this one, Sun on the Strip, subscribe it. All the Vegas, subscribe it. Done. Also, you can get more holiday vibes just up the street at Toshiba Plaza, right in front of T-Mobile Arena, where there will be an 80-foot holiday tree, all a twinkle, starting on November 29th, and then they're going to have pop-up food experiences along the park in these little fun, quaint kind of cabins set up in there, and strolling carolers and all that kind of business throughout the park. It doesn't look like there is going to be an ice rink at Toshiba Plaza this year, but that's okay. We have a ton of ice rinks all over the place. They're also doing a big tree lighting ceremony on that Thursday, November 29th. The Golden Aces cheer squad will be there, the Nightline, all that fun Golden Knightsy stuff. Golden Knights and Christmas goes together like peanut butter and jelly. Who knew? What is taking over the Strip this week? Well, you are, of course. Thanksgiving is taking over the Strip and the rest of Las Vegas. 300,000 visitors expected for the holiday weekend, and that is a total normal number. That normal number, that might even be a little bit low than what it has been in recent years. LVCVA estimated our visitors will spend roughly $226 million between today and Saturday. Welcome to Las Vegas. Thanks for coming. Enjoy your turkey. This is definitely like the slowest convention week of all time because of the holiday. However, the Motor Trend International Auto Show kicks off Friday at the Las Vegas Convention Center. 17,000 people are expected to attend and test drive and check out all the newest models of cars for 2019. Unlike a lot of other conventions, though, the public can go to this one. Tickets are just $10. You can go down there and do that stuff, too. You can get more info at autoshowlv.com. Significant shows this weekend. Lance Burton and Friends at the Orleans Showroom on Friday and Saturday. Legendary 30-year Strip headlining magician Lance Burton finally playing some shows, proper shows, in Las Vegas. Lance typically does a few charity shows around the country every year. Just a few, though. He is retired since 2010, but he's finally getting back on the Vegas stage for two shows this weekend. Check that out. Orleans Showroom. The Comedy Get Down is at Mandalay Bay on Friday. That's four awesome comics, including two who are in Vegas quite a bit. Eddie Griffin, who's a regular at SLS. George Lopez, who is frequently at the Mirage, along with Cedric the Entertainer and D.L. Hewley. That is at Mandalay Bay Event Center on Friday. And then on Monday, after the big weekend, at T-Mobile Arena, Metallica is in town. Spencer's going to be going to that one. So we'll see what he says about that show. Also, Vegas Golden Knights are back in town Friday and Saturday. You can get more of this kind of stuff when you see my Best Bets column this Friday and every Friday at LasVegasSun.com. That's going to do it for the Sun on the Strip this week. Thanks again to Las Vegas Weekly's food and music experts, Leslie Ventura and Spencer Patterson. Catch all of their Vegas coverage at LasVegasWeekly.com. Of course, you can stay on top of all Strip and Vegas happenings at LasVegasSun.com. And if you dig this podcast, please subscribe and give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. podcast. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays, and see you next week.